irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest on the show will provide you with advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedian, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters. Oh, the list just goes on and on and on. Basically, if they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you entertainment career advice. Now, we make sure our guests are at different stages of their careers, too, and that's from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to relate to your personal situation and be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can either download any of our past shows by going to our archive page, and that's on latalkradio.com on the website, latalkradio.com. And you just want to go to the channel one link. There's channel one and channel two, or channel one. And then a drop down box will appear, and you just click on Question Reality, and that takes you directly to our archive page. And you can download any of the shows or listen to them immediately live. Now, our shows are also available to listen to for free on iTunes under the podcast section. And we're also on this huge website, Stitcher.com, which is a wonderful website. You got to check it out. They have so many incredible shows on Stitcher.com. Really incredible. Okay, so again, just type Question Reality Radio in the search box, or you can just Google me. Google me, Priscilla Leona. I'm all over number one, voted number one, best entertainment talk show career advice host on internet. Also, we're number one on, we've been number one on Google, voted number one for 9 years. So there you go. So just Google us. Now, if you want to find out about future guests, you want to visit the official Question Reality website. That is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And that's where you're going to find all of the guests for future shows. We are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So if you want to come on the show, please feel free to go to questionrealityradioshow.com and go to the contact page and just submit. Last, I want to encourage you to download our new, when I say new, it's so new. It's a newly designed app for Android and iPhone. And this way you'll be able to listen to all of our other exciting and informative shows that is that are being done on LA Talk Radio as well. And to download the app, just go to the homepage of latalkradio.com, and it's located towards the bottom on the right-hand side. So there you go. Get the app. App, so you can listen to me all day, every day, 24 hours. It's never enough, I'm telling you. Never enough. Okay, so as usual, every Sunday we have exciting guests, and today is no exception. We have a stunning, talented French-American actress who has such an exotic name, I had to practice it for like half an hour. Her name is Mikaël X.
Bizet.
Wow. Now, let me tell you, Mikaël X. Bizet, let me tell you a little about her. She is is the newest breakout star on ABC's critically acclaimed award-winning anthology series, American Crime. And what's interesting about Mikael is she is a former high school teacher. Again, as I my God, if you just pull her up on Google, she is stunning. She's gorgeous. She's flawless. She looks like a baby doll. She's so perfect. I mean, she's just perfect. Her face is just, I mean, you look at her and you're like, oh my God, why did God create people that look like her? And then you got me. What the hell happened over here? All right. So again, French American actress, newest breakout star. I'm telling you, when I say breakout, she is breaking out. I am so lucky and fortunate to have her on our show. Now, again, ABC, this show, it's critically acclaimed award-winning anthology series, American Crime. And Mikael is fluent in French, English, and communicates very easily in Spanish. And just to tell you a little bit, this is a thrilling drama. I have not watched it yet, and so I'm going to have her tell us what it's about. But it's a thrilling drama series, and it was created and executive produced by Academy Award winner John Ridley. Now, everybody knows John Ridley. If you're in the entertainment industry, you better know who he is. 12 Years a Slave, one of the best movies I've ever seen, best movie ever, and Michael McDonald. Now, the characters, other stars on the show are, I'm telling you, my gosh, it's just chock full of stars on the show. Felicity Huffman, I mean, come on, Desperate Housewives, love her. Regina King and Benito Martinez. Now, Mikael is best known for her memorable yet really disturbing role as fetal abductor Veronica Duramus in the acclaimed TV One series Will to Live. And Mikael was also nominated for Best Lead Actress at the Atlanta Independent Film Festival for her work in the short film Rubato by Erica Watson. So without further ado, let's talk to this exciting, stunning woman. Welcome to the show, Mikael XBZ.
Bonjour, hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Cómo te va? How you doing?
How you doing, girl? Well, your name alone says star, star. There's Cher, there's Donna, and then there's Mikael. You know, I could be wrong about this, but I think there is a supermodel with that name, but I could be wrong, but I've never heard it other than possibly as a supermodel, but I'm not sure. But I mean, don't you love being named that? I mean, you were meant to be a star. Did you thank your mother for naming you this?
No, I did. Like, I tell my mom, this name is fantastic, because actually it's, you know, if you pronounce the name Michael phonetically in French, it's the same as my name. So I basically grew up with people telling me, why do you have a boy's name? And because boys in France, we call them Mikael, and me, you know, I was called Mikael. So it's like, except that my name, because I'm a girl, it has two L's and an E, and the boy would just have one L. So I grew up people telling me, oh, why you got a boy's name? And I was like, because I'm cool, you know? And I always loved it.
Well, it's a wonderful name. Love that name. Now, let me tell you, what I find interesting is that you have to tell us, because so many times we have people on the show that have become celebrities that had former occupations, and they just said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. My passion, my dream was to do this. I'm not going to do it. So you were a former high school teacher. Tell us about that life, how you went. Because I imagine that you always, I mean, I would imagine, but I'm not sure. When you were a little girl, you wanted to be in entertainment. And then how did you get from that dream into being a teacher?
Well, I always wanted to be an actress. I don't remember one day when I decided to be an actress. I was literally, I know I was born with that desire in me already. You know, when I was a fetus, I wanted to be an actress, I'm pretty sure. And so, but in growing up in France, there were no black people on TV. So my mom was like, you're not going to be an actress. First of all, that's not possible in France, you know, that's not going to happen. And, you know, she's a mom. She wants you to have a stable job. So she wanted me to be a teacher, a doctor, something safe. And right. But I always wanted to be an actress, so I always tried on my own in France. It didn't really work out. Then I decided to come to America to be a nanny, to be an au pair, and I was supposed to stay a year, but I ended up living with this amazing American family. And the dad, when I got to America, he had just been awarded the title of Teacher of the Year, Massachusetts Teacher of the Year, and he was one of the four finalists to be. National Teacher of the Year. So there was a lot of like attention around him. And so I was just looking at this guy, and like it was always around the students and doing a whole bunch of amazing things with kids from the inner city. And when I decided that I did not want to go back to France after my 1 year as an au pair, because you're supposed to stay here, at first I wanted to go to the Academy of Dramatic Arts in Pasadena, but I was just too scared because I had only been in America for a year. I was like, I'm going to leave everything I know in America and to make another huge move all by myself. So to make a long story short, the easiest way for me to stay in the States was to become a student. And I just followed in his footsteps and I became a high school teacher. And it was like, I'm not saying that it was easy, but because I was living with that family for 7 years, I saw what it was to be a great teacher. So it came pretty passionately, not to say easily for me. But at the same time, I always had my desire to become an actress. That never left me, to the point where I would just get depressed and not know why. Mm-hmm. And at some point in 2008, I was still teaching in Boston, Madison Park High School, I believe. I discovered the whole thing, you know, The Secret. It sounds silly, but yeah. That movie, The Secret, I discovered it. And then I bought the movie, I bought the book, I bought the audio book. I was just like going around town looking for everything about it. I read all the books that they were mentioning in that book, you know, the Master Key System, The Secret of the Ages. And my mind just started like clicking. And I was like, I'm leaving, you know, like I have to believe that this is going to happen. So I quit teaching in Boston, and I moved to California in 2009, a year after I started reading all that stuff about new thoughts and how to reprogram your mind.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's so cool. I love that, because that's what my show is all about. It's about people who are, you know, I love to motivate and inspire people to do things like that. And so many people are scared, Mikael. They're so scared to make that transition, because you know that as a teacher, what you had, you know, it was a day job. You had money coming in. You had benefits. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a teacher, I don't know exactly what the perks and benefits, but I know that if you would have stayed, you would have had like a really good pension of some sort. So it was hard for you, girl, to say, you know what, I'm going to just take the risk of being poor and just try it. So it must have been very deep within you. That passion may have been so overwhelming, right? Oh, my God.
It was very overwhelming. It was either I do it or I die slowly while living. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it wouldn't have been me living my life and trying to make exciting things happen. It would have been me going through the motions and waiting for life to just take over. You know what I mean? Without me taking it over.
Without you taking it. Now, question on that for all the people that are out there who may be teachers or who maybe make working a day job and they feel the same way that you do. Mm-hmm. I always, and you made a big transit. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Connecticut. So I know it is very scary moving out here. I moved out here. I did not know a single soul, like no soul, right? But what I did have was money. I saved because I did research, and this was before the damn internet. So, you know, I had to do it much harder. This was in 92, but I saved so much money to come out here. Now, I want you to tell people how important it is that you, I don't know if you did or not, but I saved a lot because I researched how much an apartment would be. I researched how much money, you know, a car would be. I made sure that I came out here with enough money to hold me over for at least a year. I don't know if you did that, but if you didn't, tell us how you did it. If you did, tell people how important it is to do that. You got to
So I wasn't able to save, but what happened is that when I had already made my decision to resign, there were a lot of budget cuts happening around around Boston, you know. So I actually, what happened is that I got laid off, and in my life I had never been on unemployment ever, and so I was like, well, you know, I'm just gonna go, and what's gonna happen is like over the summer I'll be on unemployment, and then when I get when school start again, I'll just start substitute teaching. Although I didn't want to teach, I was like, you know, I'm not.
You had that skill.
Right, I had that skill. So, because in my mind, I was like, if I have to waitress again, because I did it in Boston, I will do it, you know. But since I have the skill and I can substitute teach and have a flexible schedule, I'll do that, you know. So I had, you had the money
you
saved
had a backup
as a plan.
Yeah.
I had the, it's not even a backup plan.
You had
plan.
The
it
skills.
My,
but you had skills I had to do that you could work anywhere, right? Because you had skills.
Yeah.
You know, you could be a teacher.
Yeah. I knew I could be a I could waitress, you know,
right.
So I knew that I would have to work somehow, make some money somehow, you know.
Right.
The
right.
only people I knew here, there was, it was also, it's funny because it's also a former teacher from, that I taught with in Boston. She did her student teaching at a school where I worked at, then she worked with us. She's in LA right now too, and she's on that show on Netflix. She's on Love. So it's like you have two, like those high school teachers, former high school teachers, trying to make it in acting in LA. And you know, we taught at the same school.
I hear a sitcom right there. I see her a sitcom. You got to think about two teachers making their way to LA to pursue a career as an actor. I see it as a sitcom. Okay, so now let's talk about when you get here, what happens? You know, where do you live? What, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
What, you know, what acting classes do you take? What was the process?
So even before I left, so my friend Liz that I just told you about, she was a teacher. She had already moved back to LA, but she was in DC. When I moved here, she was in DC doing a play, Eclipse, that Lupita Nyong'o was doing not too long ago. So the first time Eclipse was played and my friend was in it. So she was in DC. So I stayed with her mom for a month in Long Beach. So grateful for her mom and her sister. And so I get it. Before I left, she said, here's what you got to do. You got to get that book by Bonnie Gillespie, Self-Management for Actors. So before I left, I read that book. And she was like, so I started, I created my LA casting profile, my Actors Access profile. So I had all that set up before I left. And I didn't save a lot of money, but I had a little bit of money. So the first few classes I took, what did I take first? There's something that I took that Liz advised me to take is Sam Christensen image process class. So basically that class is, I took the weekend intensive, and there's a lot of exercises about who you are, and you get in front of the class and they ask you question and you have exercises. And at the end of the class, he comes up with three, four pages of what he calls essences. So the essences is basically him. He observed you the whole weekend and he came up with phrases. You know, like the Real Housewives when they have their taglines?
Right.
It's not real. I think it's basically taglines. Like I have like dozens of taglines for myself that he created. And he also taught us how to create them for ourselves. And what it did for me, that class, is that it allowed me to see myself as people see me, accept it, and also be able to see myself as I see me without judging myself, you know? So for example, he had one for me that says a new wine in a new bottle. So basically, like, that was 2009. He realized that this girl is completely new. She's black, but she's not African-American. She's French, but she's not the epitome of what you think of when you think of a French girl, you know? So I started looking at myself like, oh, okay. So I'm like this totally new thing, a black girl who's French and who's going to be an actress in L.A., and he also had this thing about me. He said, what is it again? Too much is never enough. And when I look at my life, I'm like, that is so true. I cannot send a text message that's like three words. I have to send an essay.
Me too!
You know?
I know, oh my God, I cannot stand when people... people, I'll text them like an essay, and then they're like, yes, no, okay. Right. I'm like, what's right. it mean? I'm not getting anything out of it. Please send me a paragraph, right?
I try, like, Twitter is forcing me to be shorter and everything, but it's so hard. Twitter's so hard for me.
And I hate when I post something, and like I was posting your pictures to tweet, about you being on the show, and the pictures take up all like a huge space, so I couldn't put your bio on there. I couldn't put it. I put it. You know, we put it all over other social media sites, but I hate that it only let me put, you know, Mika L. Exposé actress. Like, what does that tell? We need ticket girl. We need Twitter to like open. We need a few more characters, please. Now, let me ask
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to think back on, besides like that class was great, because you know when you come to a new city and you're changing your life completely and you just like taking a leap of faith. It was good for me to be seated in front of myself and look at myself objectively. And so that class, Sam Christensen's class, it's still very helpful. Like sometimes I'm the type of person, you know, like I don't want to talk to people. And he had this essence for me that said, I'd like to be alone for a moment. Just that. And when I saw it, I was like, what do you mean? And then, like, every day in my life, I'm like, this is so true. I'm definitely the type of person, like, sometimes I just don't talk to anybody. I just want to be by myself. I want to meditate. And I think, especially in this industry, it's very important to understand who you are and be comfortable enough with who you are. Because there's a lot of stuff thrown at you. But as far as acting, straight up acting, the guy that I really like is Jack Plotnick. I still go to him. I don't know if you heard of him. Jack Plotnick is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's my
What about headshots when you got here, or who do you recommend for, like, not because you know these people will like suck every last penny out of you with these headshots. And it's not necessary. I tell people, please don't be intimidated by having to spend like $700 to $1,000 for headshots. You can get really great. What do you recommend on that?
Listen, like I got the first headshots that I got were $100. They weren't great, but people liked them. Okay. And now like my go-to person for headshots, she moved to Louisiana, but she's great because she's a makeup artist too. Her name is Tina Bernard. She comes to LA once in a while. And so you can get two looks for $250. And her headshots are fantastic. I don't know, like, if you guys, whoever Googles me, you'll see there's a headshot of me, like, my top is all black, and I'm looking super fierce, like I'm, like, a James Bond girl or something, with my hair to the side, you know? And she made that. She did that. It's awesome. And I just found, like, I have a friend of mine. Well, we became friends because he took pictures of my friend's wedding. He just shot me my last session. Oh my God, I'm like Jean-Paul. His name is Jean-Paul San Pedro. And I won that session. So I don't even know how much he is, but he's so amazing. Jean-Paul San Pedro, but definitely Tina Bernard. If you guys can reach her on the internet and find out when she comes back, and she comes back quite often, it's totally worth it because you get makeup. And you get two looks, and you get your pictures.
Oh, that is so worth it. So everybody definitely Google her. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Mikael, your powerful performance of Gabrielle, has garnered you like a huge amount of recognition and buzz, right? And you're getting rave reviews, right? And what have you been hearing? Give us the scoop.
Well, what's funny is that it's not even my character enters the season next week, but the critics and people who have been seeing it, it's so like my heart, like when somebody comes to me and said, I saw two of your episodes, and oh my God, and I'm like, my heart, you know what I mean? It's like, because that's my dream since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
So for the critics to come to me and the journalists to come to me and say that to me, I'm just like, I don't know. It's like you just bought me 100 Barbies. You just buy Barbie. You know what I mean?
No, now for those, tell us. Now, your character on American Crime is Gabrielle Duran, season 3. Mm-hmm. Now, for those mm-hmm. who haven't watched American Crime, and again, I have not. There are too many shows. Tell us what the show is about and who mm-hmm. your character is Gabrielle Duran on the show of American Crime.
Okay, so this season 3, basically the underlying main topic, I would say, but then again, John Ridley is so smart, his brain is so intricate that you can't just be like, oh, it's about this, it's about this, it's about that, you know? But if I would pick one word, I would say exploitation, okay? So whether it's basically human beings exploiting each other for their own good. And so you go, it can go to sex trafficking, it can go to immigration and labor issues, modern day slavery, physical abuse, human trafficking in general,
how you treat your family. Are these true stories created or what?
Well, I mean, it's definitely, this is the thing. When I looked up, like, because I did research, and I was like, oh, my God, for real? As far as my character, because my character's name is, okay, so it's Gabrielle Durand. She's a Haitian woman, French-speaking woman, who comes to America to be a nanny for an American family, just like I did. And she has this idea of her American dream. You know, she just wants a better life. She doesn't want a lot, but her American dream is just being happy, living with a happy family. So she's very excited, very hopeful. And then, you know, she gets here, and obviously the show's American Crime, so that gets shut down. And she's going through through a lot. She's the nanny to Lily Taylor and Tim Hutton's characters. And there's a little boy. The little boy she takes care of is Nikki, played by this little actor, Aiden Wallace. So, yeah, most of my scenes are with Lily Taylor. And it's insane. Like, working with her was this just like going to Yale or Harvard or something. She's phenomenal. Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're listening. I'm enthralled. You're telling a story and you got me hypnotized. I can't.
No, because I can't.
You
like,
tell such a good story. I'm like, yeah, and what happened?
I can tell forever. You know, Too much is never enough with me. So I can talk to everybody. Like, you know,
you can tell you're a good ass actress. I haven't seen you yet, but for me to just be sitting here waiting and hanging on your next word, I didn't even know what you were going to say next. And I'm like, waiting. But first of all, I love Timothy Hutton. How cool is it?
Oh my God.
I'm obsessed with Timothy Hutton. You're so lucky.
Oh my God. It was, I just still can't believe that it happened, you know? And the great story is that, you know, my I think it was my first day I had a scene with him, but nobody came and introduced me to him like, oh, hey, you little new girl, here's Mr. Oscar winning Tim Hutton, so don't be freaked out, Tim Hutton, this is Mikael. No, none of that happened. I met the guy for the first time when they said action.
Oh my gosh.
And boom, he's standing in front of me.
Oh my
he was super close to me, like no joke. And he just stood there like an oak tree and with piercing blue eyes. And he's just staring at me and I deliver my lines. And inside I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is Tim Hutton. This is Tim Hutton. But it was perfect because that's exactly how the character was feeling, because it was her first time meeting him as well, you know. So I suspect that they did that on purpose.
What are you talking about? You had rehearsal first. I mean, they don't just cast you and all of a sudden just throw you.
No.
Are you serious? You guys don't rehearse?
Oh, yes.
What? Nuh-uh.
Well, you rehearse. You know how, like, okay, you rehearse on set for, you know, your positions and all the stuff and the camera people. You rehearse that, okay? But American Crime, if any of you guys listening are ever going to be an American Crime, it's the best gift for an actor. Because I suspect that they do things. It's my first big gig. It's my first time at this level. But I'm like, I don't think all the shows do things the way they do things. You know what I mean? It's very particular because they really want to get the most natural, organic, authentic performance out of you. You know what I mean? So if for me to be able to bring Gabrielle to where she's supposed to be, they were like, let's not introduce her to Tim ahead of time. That's fine with me, you know, because it worked perfectly. Right. And that scene, we didn't need a lot of blocking for that scene, you know. So, but I'll never ever forget that.
Blown away, because I mean, for you know, I'm more versed in and experienced in sitcoms, because you know they rehearse the whole week and then they usually shoot it on Friday. And I mean, I know they rehearse dramas too. I've never heard of it. I don't think I've ever heard of a show where they cast you and then there's no rehearsal and then it's like boom and action. I mean, so that's wonderful to me. I'm interested in that.
I don't know if it was like that for the other every single characters, but I just had, you know, like I had blocking rehearsals, but not like literally rehearsed, because when you watch the show, it's almost like you're watching real life. You know what I mean? It's very, very independent movie like. It's like it's almost like you're peeping into those people's lives. Okay. You're like, am I really watching this right now? You know? So, yeah.
Now I got to watch it in order to understand. So as soon as we get done with this interview, I'm going to look it up. Is it on Netflix now? Could I watch season
one? It's on Netflix.
Okay.
But you can watch one and two. Mm-hmm. And since it's an anthology, you don't need...
You won't be on it. I'm going to wait until season three is on Netflix, and then I'll watch it, because I want to start right with you. Now you are so you were on the whole entire season. Is your character going to be? Are you going to be on there for next season of American Crime, or do you know?
I don't know. I'm visualizing every day that I'm going to get that phone call one day. You know what I mean? Like, I go to bed, because this season has 8 episodes. I'm in 5. So Tim, Lily, and I, we come in the season at the same time, and we, you know, I can't say what happens, but, you know, we're there at the same time. Our storylines are together. But, so, you know, it's an anthology. So they keep the big, the series regulars, obviously, Regina, Felicity, Tim, Lily. There's Richard as well. Oh my God, Richard Cabral. I love him. He's so amazing. Benito. Now Connor's a series regular. And there's also another new cast member, Anna Mavoy 10. She's super amazing as well. So me, like right now, I don't know if I'm going to be in the fourth season, but when I go to bed at night, let me tell you that I visualize and I picture that phone call, you know, either Pam, my manager, by the way, I got the best manager in the industry.
Oh, my God. Wait, we got to talk about Pamela Capetta, because this woman is super wild. I mean, when I say super wild, I'm talking talented. Oh, my gosh. It is. And I want to talk about that briefly, because Pamela is on bleak, if that's still like. Right, she is so organized and professional and on top of it. I mean, when you send her an email, boom, you're gonna get a response. And that is so hard though. And with managers, I hear my actual friends do nothing but complain about they can't get a hold of their manager, they can't get a hold of
them.
Let me just tell you, everybody, it works at a bi-coastal talent agent, a talent management company called citizensball.com. So she's a talent manager, correct?
CSP management. Yeah, she's a beast.
She's incredible. You would be, I mean, there should be a lottery to see who Pamela is going to take on as a client, because if you are lucky to be taken on by her, you are guaranteed that your career is going to be rocking and rolling. She will get
you. And let me tell you, people try.
Yeah, she will get you auditions in front of the top shows, like the A-list shows, right, girl?
She's not joking around. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, how did you get that? How did you make that happen? And what I love about Pam is that she's like no nonsense. You know, like she's East Coast all the way. She doesn't play around. She right. tells you what she needs from you. You know what I'm saying? So if you're on board, you're on board. Just do what yeah. you got to do.
If and you she's my I'm here. You are history. And you know what? That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Because people who are serious actors, if she wants you to get a headshot, if she wants you to do this, you better be on board.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you got a great manager, because she's telling you, this is what I need from you. This is what you need to get right away. You can't be procrastinating.
Yeah, I call her my Benny Medina. You know, that's J-Lo's manager.
Yeah.
they've been together forever. And I'm like, and you know what's weird is that I've been here since 2009, and I've sent so many submissions to managers and agency. I've never had a manager. She's my first manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's my first manager.
Well, you know what? But I met her years ago, and I cannot remember exactly how, but she was actually managing her daughter Gigi's career, who is a beautiful, talented little girl.
I'm obsessed with Gigi.
Oh, my God. So she was like rocking and rolling with her daughter's career, and I told her years ago, Mikael, I told her, you need to be a talent manager because you have everything. And I'm so happy when she told me, emailed me and told me that she had been hired. And I'm telling you, she is a rocker and roller. So let's talk about that right quick. Pamela Capetta, again, citizensgirl.com. When does an actor know? Because everybody thinks, Mikael, when they come here, they think, oh, I'm the best in my they're like a small fish in a – they're a big fish in a small town, right? But what is that saying? They think they're a big fish in a small pond, right? So they come here and they think that they're going to get an agent right away. They're going to get a manager. They're going to be represented. And they get here, and all of a sudden they are slapped with reality in that it is not that easy to get representation. A lot of people come here and they're not ready for it. You have to do a certain process before you can even think about seeking representation. When did you know that you were ready to start seeking representation? Because if you seek it too soon, people are going to go, this person's so amateur, and you know, that's it. You're not even. So tell us about that.
But I think at first, because like the fact that I had read Bonnie's book, I knew to go to do student films, independent films, you know, like trying to get into plays, class, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like my thing was, I always had this like build a reel. Because when you build a reel, that means you're on set, even if it's a student film. Even if it's something that sucks, I mean, at least you can get an idea of what it is, what a real set should be or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always a learning opportunity in every situation, okay? I did, you know that I did stuff where I had to go to somebody's class, like a university, somebody who was studying to be a director, and I was in the class with them, and I was doing a scene. That's the gig that I got off of Actors Access, okay? And that was back in maybe 2010 or 2009. And to me, that was still a big deal because they picked me out of the audition. So I end up going to this directing class, and the professor's there, and I have to do the scene in front of the professor, the scene that the director student directed, you know what I'm saying? And so anything to get any type of knowledge or experience, I mean, when I say anything, I'm not like, don't go do porn, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, but, you
know.
But even if it's a small student film, a small independent film, but that was my process, right? That's the process I was comfortable with. I did a lot of student films, and I did some student films that look really, really, really good. I did some student films where I was like, oh my God, if this kid keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be the next Spielberg or whatever. You know, so you can meet a lot of people. You can start seeing how things work. And then I did an amazing student film that was a thesis that's called Rubato that went all over the world.
Yeah, you were nominated for Best Lead Actress at the Atlanta Independent Film Festival on that film, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't even in it for a long time, and I spoke French and a little bit of Portuguese in it. But that film is beautiful, and it was a student film. It was a thesis. So, but you know, when it's a thesis, for people who are listening and who just got here, you have the student films from the kids who just started. But then you have the thesis. So at first, do any student film, do whatever. But then at some point, just pick just the thesis, right? Because the thesis, they have all the equipment. They really, it's really like a big set and everything. You know, they have the trucks. They have everything. They have makeup for you. So it's basically like
because it's being paid for by the school, right? So if they can get the higher caliber quality. You know what? I am so glad that you said that, because a lot of people ask me, they say, well, I turned down all of the stuff on Actors Access for the thesis because I had such a hard time getting credit on. You don't get credit on IMDb. You don't get a copy. And it's really gotten a bad rap. How can you promote actors to actually work for people who want to do their thesis? Because the main complaint of actors is that they're not going to get a credit on IMDb. Why do it? And I say, well, because you're going to get a reel. And then they say, we never even get a copy of our reel. So, you know,
I would say the credit on IMDb, I would say, like, everybody needs to chill about that. Okay, like you have a lot of people who wants to build all those, have all those credits, all those lists, but it's just for background work.
Yeah, you need to be worried about getting the experience doing it, because these people who are doing these theses today are Steven Spielberg's tomorrow.
Yes,
you never
know. Yes, the girl Erica Watson. Who did Rubato, and mind you, she also did it, when she did Rubato, she also did a Kickstart campaign or whatever. So she took the lead of the movie and her cinematographer to France to shoot some outside, some experience for her thesis. Wow. So some of those thesis people, they're not playing around, you know what I mean? They take this stuff real, very, very seriously. And then she get into a program where right now she's going on a whole bunch of set and she's shadowing. She was on Underground. She was on I Don't Remember What Else. You know what I mean? Like, she's not playing around. She's probably going to be directing American Crime Next Year. Who knows? I don't know. You know?
Right. So don't turn down those thesis films and don't turn down short films.
Not.
I mean, that's where you get your experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's why I did a lot of them, and I'm glad I did. And I still use some of those clips from those student films that were really good, you know, to be pitched. For example, Pam, it's, oh my God, like, can we go back two more seconds to Pam? Because about the student film, I did a student film about female circumcision in Africa, right? So we shot that at the in LA. And so I have this scene where I'm in an African tribe, and I'm like the head of the tribe, so I have my head wrap and my African dress, and so I sing this African song and I make this speech. So I have that clip on Actors Access, okay? And when I met Pam, she said, so what do you want? And so I said, you know, I'm really into that new Black Panther movie, you know, that Marvel movie. I really want to be in it, you know what I mean? And so she was like, okay, I'll do whatever I can to get you in front of Sarah Finn. Because her thing, Pam, is that it's not about booking, really. I mean, you want to book, obviously, but you want to get in front of those people and kill it so that they remember who you are, they know who you are. So she worked hard to get me in front of Sarah Finn, who cast the Marvel movies. And so let me tell you that she was so good at what she did that for the Black Panther movie, they were looking for the head of an African tribe, kind of, but she was supposed to be 60-something. I got in the room through Pam.
What?
because Pam is that good, and
yes,
I also had that clip. I had that clip on Actors Access that was exactly just like that role. You know what I mean? From a student film, mind you. From a student film. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into the room, I basically did what I had done in that student film. I even did the African song that I sang, you know? So So yeah, those student film, like, don't turn them down too easily, I would say.
Oh, you'd be a fool to do that for sure. Now, Miguel, you are best known for your very memorable, but it was really creepy and disturbing role as the fetal abductor, Veronica
Deramus.
Look, I'm trying to put a French twist on everything now. I don't know what's wrong. And that's on the acclaimed TV One series, Will to Live. So, first of all, is that still airing? What was the show about? Who was your character? Can we watch it on Netflix?
That thing is that show had a big splash when it was there, but it only stayed for a season. Then they twisted. They did sort of the same show, but with a different name. So that show was reenactment, but it was literally about people who survived situations where they should have died, logically. So this woman, fetal abduction, if you guys don't know what it is, it's basically when you try to steal a baby out of the womb. You open up the woman's stomach and you literally, with your hands, you know, trying to take the baby out. And it's a thing.
I know.
It's a thing. People used to go in hospitals and kidnap babies that were already born. Now they just, you know, kidnap a pregnant woman and open her up and try to take the baby out of her. So Veronica, she's in prison right now. She's real. And so that's what she did. And most of the time, the mom dies and the baby dies. But in Tika Adams' case, they're still alive. She was able to escape. So that was super creepy, but that was a dream. Ugh, that's so weird to say that was a dream because that's such a horrible story. As an actress, it's like, because at first, you know, I go to her as, I approach Tika as a nice social worker who's going to help her out. And I'm really welcoming to her. You know, I'll help you buy diapers, you know, actually kind of like Regina King's character in American Crime this season. She's a social worker and she's really passionate about what she does. So that's how I approach Tika on Will to Live. But then I switch it up on her and just go psycho and kidnap her and just open her stomach and try to steal the baby out of it.
Stop
right?
That's insane. God. Oh, can we, for people who are sick and demented who want to watch that, is that on Netflix or where can they?
It's not, but episode on YouTube. I put the episode on YouTube. So if you Google YouTube my name, okay. Will to Live. That episode was called I Want Your Baby.
Oh my gosh.
So it's on my YouTube.
Okay,
it's
so insane. Go on YouTube and check Mikael out for that. Now, what do you feel? First of all, you're fluent in French, English, and you communicate very easily in Spanish. This is a very marketable ability. Oh, obviously, I think everybody should be bilingual in general. But how has this helped you in your acting career? Because actors have to take, you have to commit to the craft. You have got the more skills that you have in your toolbox, the better. I mean, if you're a woman, do not for one second think that you shouldn't be taking parkour classes or sword fighting or fencing or are all things the more you have as a female, the better. And you need, karate, anything that's going to get you in front of that audition. Now, I don't know if you have any of those skills, but I do know that you have major skills with being, I guess, trilingual. I always start recommend to actors, along with everything else, try to take a class and learn Spanish if you're all white, blonde-haired, pacey actress.
Right? No, it's always good.
It's wild. I mean, who would think if you're a pale blonde actress and you whip out that Spanish, right? So it's marketable.
I know. It totally is. Look at Lily. You know, Lily Taylor in this season speaks French with me the whole time. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my character only speaks French. So Lily Taylor had to speak French and, learn the French on the spot. And she was, she was so amazing. I was watching her, who is this woman? One day I'll never forget. We had a scene in the car when I did Will to Live. And it's not very, you know, comfortable having to drive a car, look at the person you're acting with, listen to directions, look at the road, try not to hit anything. It's insane, you know. She has to do all of that and speak French at the same time. And I'm looking at her like, oh, you're so amazing. It was really, really great. And, like, she never complained. She just did it. And, oh, my God. She's like, and what's some, like, I don't know. I'm just obsessed with Lily Taylor now, you know.
Oh, she's so
petite,
brilliant.
But she's a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Powerhouse. I mean, I've been watching her for years. She scared the crap out of me in The Conjuring, one of my favorites.
I am not
a horror movie person, but she was so powerfully creepy. And that's what you want. You know, I think the best actresses are character actresses. I mean, sure, you can play the hot Angelina Jolie lead actress, but you know, when you get down and dirty, woo, you know, that's it.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's incredible. Okay, so we got 1 minute, and in that 1 minute, I want to just briefly go over your social media. You are on Instagram at The French Black Girl, Twitter at Miko Bisset, Facebook.
Twitter is Mika L. Bisset. Miko Bisset, Snapchat.
Okay. And Snapchat, Miko Bisset. Okay. Now, real quick, you have a personal hashtag, The French Black Girl. What does that mean, real quick? Can you how do you get your own personal hashtag? I'm not up with the social media crap with the hashtag.
I mean, you know, like, hashtags is a thing. You know, when you want to check American crime stuff, you check the American crime hashtag. And I don't know, I just started a while ago. I just started, like, doing the hashtag, The French Black Girl. And it just stuck with me because that's my Instagram as well, you know. So because I'm French, I'm black, and I'm a girl, hashtag The French Black Girl. So basically, even if you go on Google and you do hashtag The French Black Girl, my stuff will come up. So it's almost like you don't even need to, I don't even need to tell you, here's my Twitter, here's my this, here's my that. Hashtag The French Black Girl. You can look that up.
So anybody can do that for themselves. I mean, if they were, you know.
But the more popular you get, the more messy your hashtag is going to be. Look at, let me tell you, I love Kim Kardashian, okay? Well, the Kardashians
I'm
in general.
I'm obsessed with Kardashian. I cursed the day I was not born a Kardashian.
Like, yeah, I have two sides to me. I'm like super American crime, like intellectual, and then I'm like Kardashians all day. And so if you look at Kim Kardashian hashtag, it's barely her because everybody's using that hashtag. You know what I'm saying? Because they want you to look at their stuff. So right now my hashtag is clean. Hopefully it's going to stay like that.
I don't know. I wanted to get messy because that means you're going to be a huge star. I want to thank you so much, Mika-L. American Crime on ABC. Check it out. When does it come on? Every Sunday.
So today's episode 3, every Sunday, 10, 9 central. And my character comes in next week.
You're on tonight?
Yeah, but I'm not on tonight because my storyline starts next week.
Oh,
it gets
okay.
Really, really cray cray too. So
okay. All right. So we are gonna be looking for Mika-L XBZ on American Crime. You're gonna be a huge star. And when you do, please come back and visit us, please.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but I'm going to request a firm request. I don't know if you're, can people request you or you just have like a like page?
Well, the official page is for people I don't know. So you can request me on the other page, but the official page, like if I don't like people, I get so many requests right now. I'm on a regular page and I cannot. I don't know you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
I know you, girl. All right. Well, I'm Priscilla Leona. This is Question Reality. We had Mika-L Bisset right here on the show. She's going to be huge. Check her out. American Crime. Every Sunday night. Thank you so much for coming on the show, honey. And I wish you all
the
best.
Thank you.
That's for sure. And you better come. All right?
I will.
Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, everybody. Make sure to watch American Crime tonight on ABC 10, 9 Central. Hashtag American Crime.
We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.